Good evening. This is the Saturday Night Bible Study. I'm Johnny Coffey. This is the Harmony Baptist Church. This evening, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Tonight, I'd like to talk about the subject of husband and wife. And the name, the title of the message is Fit for Him. Fit for Him. Look in verse 18. Before we do these, I pray before where I go online, but because my pastor really wants us to keep these videos short as possible, because we want a lot of lost people to people that check out these videos to not just turn it off or to look at it and go, well, you know, it's 55 minutes or something. I'm not going to listen to it. So that's why we do what we do, okay, in case anyone's interested. Look in verse 18. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." Now, the first thing I want you to notice, a lot of times people misunderstand this. I've seen devotionals that said help, you know, this is a help meet or help mate or something like that. And, you know, if you're a King James person, you need to learn your Bible, okay? There's no such thing as a helpmate. There's no such thing as a helpmeet, okay? That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I will make him a help meet for him, okay? There's two different words. And the word help is an old English word that means helper. Today, we've changed it. They've upgraded it to helper. And meet means fit. M-E-E-T means fit, okay? So this is how I read the verse. And I mark it. I actually put meat for him. I put that in a parenthesis so that when somebody looks at my Bible, they visually separate it, okay? It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him," okay? And tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the helper that is fit for him or your spouse, okay? It's something that means a lot to me. This subject's very dear. Let's look in verse 19. It says, "Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called would, called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Okay. "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field." You notice he says cattle, fowl, and beast. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read those passages like that every time. I'm going to give you the definition of the word, okay? So that you get the point, okay? "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now I want you to notice the first thing God did was God... Before God gives him Eve, before he gives him a woman, he has, I will make him a help, a helper who is fit for him. Okay, he says that in verse 18. He says, I am going to make Adam a helper that is fit specifically for him. Okay, she's fit for him. Okay, it's not an afterthought. I'm going to do this. That's the first thing he says in verse 18. And then he says, out of the ground, the God formed every beast of the field. Now he feels every beast of the field he makes, just like he did Adam, from the dust of the ground. And a lot of people have made comments about how, why would he go through all these animals? If he had just said, I'm going to make someone who is perfectly fit for Adam. And here's my personal opinion. My personal opinion is, I believe that God created all the animals not because he tried to find somebody who would be a companion to Adam, but to show Adam, this is not fit for you. He made all the cattle. He made all the beasts. He made all the fowls. These are not fit for you. This is what's not fit for you. The beast of the animal. And the reason I bring this up is we have a lot of people today who have sacrificed their relationship with their spouse. They've sacrificed their husband or their wife for some substitute, whether it's their children, whether it's animal. You know how many people are like, well, I don't need a spouse. I don't need someone. I don't need to get married. I have a cat or I have a dog. I'm going to tell you something. They are not fit for you. Your spouse, your animal, your dog, your cat, they can keep you company. But your spouse is fit for you. And the language here, it brings about the idea of like a puzzle. You hear people all the time, you hear women talk about their girlfriends and how that the girlfriends can understand them. Women can understand women and men can understand men and blah, 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 blah. And they can understand them and they talk and they talk and they talk and you go out and they understand all these things. I'm going to tell you something. Your spouse, the man, is supposed to learn to understand you. He's supposed to learn to care for you. He's supposed to learn what you like, what you dislike. But that takes time. That takes communication. It takes spending time together. Just like you're spending time with your friends, okay? It takes time to build that relationship. God expects you to build that relationship, okay? If God just wanted you to be a help meet or a help mate, a mate. He doesn't want you to just be a mate. If he wanted that, he would just give you a dog or a cat. A dog and a cat can sit on the couch and you can cuddle and you can be close to them. They can meet that loneliness situation. But having a helper that is fit for you, specifically fit for you, goes far beyond just having someone to keep you from being alone. Okay? It's not about just being alone. All right? This is about someone who meets your needs, that you meet their needs. Y'all fit together like a puzzle piece. Look in verse 23, it says, And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. When he took that rib, you notice he made Adam and all the animals from the earth, the dust of the earth, but he didn't do Eve that way. He took one of Adam's ribs. Now, we know that he took more. When he took a rib, he took flesh with that rib because it says bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now, if anybody's ever eaten ribs or a chicken leg or whatever, you take a bone, you pull it off, meat comes off with that. Okay, that's the picture here. That's the picture. He took the meat, the part of Adam that made Adam part, his humanness, okay, his flesh and his bones. He made Eve, okay? He created something special to fit him, okay? She was special. She was important. She was more than just a beast of the field, okay? Quit trying to replace your spouse with an animal, okay? Animals are not people. People have spirits. They have a spirit, okay? Animals do not. Animals are a living soul, but they are not a spirit. They do not have a spirit. They're a living being, but they do not have a spirit, okay? Humans have a spirit, okay? And when you commune with your wife or your husband, you're communing with your spirit, or at least you should be as Christians. You commune with your spirit. Your relationship can get closer and closer spiritually. If you're only doing it physically, you're using that person. You're treating that person as if they're just an animal. And your wife and your husband is not an animal, okay? They're human. And that's the difference between human and animals. We have a spirit, okay? Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Cleave. Let's look at this word cleave and see, it means to close, to cling to adhere to. Okay. Let's look in Deuteronomy 28, 21. I want to show you something. Deuteronomy 28, 21. In Deuteronomy 28 and 21, it says, and the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. He's talking about a pestilence, a disease. When a disease, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's cancer, whether it's AIDS, once it's inside of you, it becomes a part of you. Now, that's a destructive force. Now, we're talking about a cleaving, a positive force here. Your wife and you should cling, you should cleave to each other spiritually to the point that there's no separation. Okay? Look in Mark 10:9. Let's look at this real quick. It says Mark 10:6. It says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain too shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Why therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. He's made you one flesh. That doesn't mention spiritual. But you understand something. He's made you one. Your fit. Your helper that is fit for you. Your helper that is fit for him. She was fit for him. And if you're married today, your spouse is fit for you. God has made them special. It's a gift from God. Your spouse is a gift from God. Don't take that for granted. The cleaving there is like, you know, like a disease that covers your body. It becomes a part of you. And it destroys you. God is saying that when you cleave together, she becomes so part of your so part of your life and so part of your body that instead of destroying you, she nourishes you. A lot like how taking in food becomes part of your body and makes you stronger. You can look at it like a flower absorbing nutrients from the earth, absorbing the sunlight. You grow. And as a couple, you cannot grow. And I'm going to tell you something. As a couple, not just growing as a couple, but as an individual Christian, when you're married, you cannot grow spiritually without oneness. Okay? You cannot be out of God's will in one area of your life and grow. You're a living being. You're a living entity. Okay? And look in 25, it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Why were they not ashamed? Because they were at one with each other. They were at one with God. You don't know how many people I've seen in marriages. They haven't signed the divorce papers, but they're not biblically married. The husband's manipulating the wife. The wife's manipulating the husband. It's not, oh, can you do this for me? It's, oh, can we, you know, they're going roundabout. You know, I want this, but they don't really want that. They want something else. So they're lying to their spouse to get something else. They're using the world's method in their marriage, and they think God's going to bless that. And they think that something spiritual is going to come about that. Manipulation is a tool. It's a witchcraft is what it is. Manipulation is witchcraft. And when you practice witchcraft, Satan's in control of that. Nothing good comes from witchcraft. Okay? It's like reading a horoscope and, you know, believing in karma and thinking that God's going to do something with that. God does not work with witchcraft. Okay? Manipulation is just another form of witchcraft. It's like knocking on wood, or, you know, you cannot practice pagan religious practices and God use that in your marriage. It's not going to work. And if you're at odds with your spouse, if you're not one flesh with your spouse, get it right. A lot of times what happens is a couple will stay married for years and years. They'll slowly grow apart. But they won't notice at first because they're busy with the kids and that sort of thing. And they're getting love from the kids. The kids love mom. Kids love dad. Mom's doing this with the kids. And then dad comes home and he does something else with the kids. And then before you know it, mom and dad don't even know each other. They've spent their whole life with their kids. And they have a relationship with their kids, but they don't have a relationship with each other. You cannot sacrifice your relationship with your spouse for anyone. Not your kids, not the church, not your work, nothing. Think about it like this. Think about your relationship with God, right? You read your Bible. That's spending time with God, right? You're listening to what God has for you. And you pray. That's you talking to God, right? Over time, those practices, it's not the practices, it's you spending time with God. As you spend more time with God, you're going to enjoy spending more time with God. The more you get to know God and what He does for you and what He loves you and how He loves you and how He loves you, how you love Him and vice versa, your relationship grows. It's the same thing with your spouse. Find something. Your foundation should be based on God, okay? If you can't have devotions together, there's something wrong. If you can't get together and have, you should have family devotions with your kids, but you should also have devotions with your wife, you and her separate, together, dealing with marriage, dealing with whatever, because you'll have to confess things. You need to be able to confess things, talk about things that the kids can't hear. So you have to have a personal devotion with your spouse that's separate from the kids, and you have to make time for that, okay? You have to find out what your wife loves, what your husband loves, whatever. There are going to be things that you can't stand that he just loves. I don't know if it's football. I don't know if it's sports. I don't know if it's hiking or whatever. Discover the things that you love together, the things that both of you agree on, the things that you love to do or you're cool with. You love to watch movies or whatever it is. Do those things together as much as possible. Do those things together. And each one of you finds something that the other one hates. Like you hate it. You hate what they love. But it's something that's very important to them, but you can't stand it. Okay? Do it because you love that person. Do it. I don't care if it's going to art things. I don't care if it's going to the opera. I don't care what it is. Do something that you can't stand to do, that you know the other person loves, just because you love that person. And then as your relationship grows, there are going to be some things that you like to do that the other person doesn't like to do. You don't have to do everything together. You know, you can have stuff that only you and your girlfriends do, or he does with only him and his guy friends, or whatever. And that's okay. But those things cannot take up your entire life. The majority of your life, the things that you do, has to be with your spouse. You have to learn to do those things with your spouse. Otherwise, you will go apart. You know? If you keep doing things separate, if you keep saying, well, we can't do this together, we can't do that together, you know, eventually you're going to wake up one day and you're going to be on opposite ends of the bedroom. And I know people that they died, still married, still didn't sign the divorce papers, still sleeping in the same bed, but they had not been right with God. They had not been right with each other their entire life. They just stayed together because divorce is evil, right? Divorce is evil. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Being married and taking advantage of your spouse is evil too. And I'm not telling people to get out of their marriage, divorce, because things aren't working out. I'm saying, go to the Lord. Find some couples. Find couples in your church that don't fake it, because there's a lot of people that fake it, even pastors and missionaries that fake it. Find couples that you know genuinely love each other and love God, and talk to those people. Get with those people. If you need to go to counseling, find a good counselor. You know, you can't always trust the pastor to be a confidential. If that's the case, find you a good Christian counselor that can help you, whatever it takes, okay? But don't give up on your spouse. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your children. But do never, God has designed your spouse to fit like a puzzle. You know, your girlfriends are going to understand you. Your guy friends, guys, are going to understand you. They're going to understand your perspective. Okay? But they can't fit. That's why the homosexual thing, ality thing, we can tell you, we can go into sin and all that stuff. You weren't designed. Okay? You weren't designed. It's a puzzle piece. You fit together. Man and woman fit together. What does it matter? If I talk to a guy and he understands everything that I'm thinking and he understands what I'm going through, God still has not designed him to meet my needs. He is still not designed. Just because you understand someone doesn't mean that you can help that person. Okay? So do not fall into that trap. And I'm talking to a lot of the younger people today. Is because they think that, oh, because I'm a guy and I don't fit in with girls or whatever, that I should be dating guys. Or a girl, she's like, well, you know, I like to play football, so I should be dating girls. That's not, there's nothing wrong with you playing football. You can be a godly woman and be a spouse and be a Christian and be married to a man and still play sports. I don't know where we get that stuff. But God is not designed the same sex to meet the needs of the same sex. He's designed man and woman to complement each other. They're not always going to agree, but you got to, if we spend time trying to understand our spouse, it's no different than you trying to understand somebody else. You know, it amazes me how many men will, can't get along with their wife, can't talk to their wives, okay? But they can talk to the girl that they work with, and she understands everything, right? Well, I promise you, she's probably lying to you, okay? She probably understands where the wife's coming from, but she's telling you what you want to hear. Don't ever go that route. Understand that your spouse is specifically created to fit for you, okay? Your spouse. When you go home tonight, look at your spouse. And if you don't understand them, if you don't like them, if they're, you know, whatever the case is, change that. Get with God. Start having devotions together. Start getting counseling. Start understanding that person. If your wife loves to crochet, get on the internet and find out what it's all about. You know, ask her questions. You don't even have to go crazy. Just ask her questions. Ask her why she likes doing it. You know, it may not be what you think it is. But get to know, fall in love with God, and let the love of God teach you to fall in love with your spouse. You were made to fit together. Don't ever let anyone tell you different. God bless and good night.